Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. Luke is here and Adam is here. And it's good to be here with you all, wherever you find yourself listening to this, morning, noon, or night, outside or inside, wherever you are. We're glad you're with us. Guys, how you feeling today?
Feel good.
Feeling good? I mean,
That's not what you just said. Yeah, you said I'm lagging. I mean,
yeah, we just spent the entire pre-pod.
But I still feel good. Yeah, so I'm tired this morning, but I still feel good.
You're choosing joy.
Choosing joy.
That's right. All right. It's the choice.
I'm choosing energy.
Yeah, it's like I just told the biggest lie in Christianity. I'm fine.
A little tired, but that's because you smashed a bunch of pumpkins last night.
Yeah, with the teenagers. High schoolers came out. We smashed some pumpkins. We chunked some pumpkins, carved some pumpkins.
All of it.
Searched for some pumpkins.
So have you ever heard the band Smashing Pumpkins?
Yes. That is how I named this event.
Okay.
It was called Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
I don't know that a single of the high school students understood.
Oh, guaranteed. All your youth coaches knew, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So, I don't know that I can name a single Smashing Pumpkins.
I couldn't name a song or sing along or anything, but yeah.
That was big whenever I was in high school.
It's a pretty memorable name.
Mm-hmm.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. Adam, you feeling good?
Yeah, feeling great. Cool. Got Jennifer's parents are in town. I don't know for how long. I never know how long they're going to be in town. but I know we're playing today's Thursday. We're playing golf with them tomorrow. So they'll at least be in through tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
But just always good to see family. And have them drop in for a bit.
Yeah. Sasha is on a retreat today with her middle schoolers.
Fun.
And it's not an overnight trip, so she'll be back.
Praise the Lord.
I know, right?
Overnight with middle schoolers.
It's the best. It's the best. That's where stories happen.
Yeah, stories for
stories.
Sure.
Lots of stories.
Lots of stories.
So I'll be picking up the kids from school. She'll get back late, but not overnight, so that's good. But yeah, looking forward to the weekend, and then fall break is next week, so that changes our rhythm a little bit with kids in school.
Otherwise known as the second week of October, to those of us who don't have kids in school.
Yes. Yeah. That also sounds kind of like a band name.
The second week of
second
October?
Second week of October. Have you heard any good stuff from them?
Well, I know that we just had to wake up the guy from Green Day a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
When September ends. Yeah.
There we go.
Yep. Hey, here's your question for today, and I did tell you this one before. What is something that made you smile recently?
I made a great joke before we started. Said that Luke was feeling faint.
Yeah.
Not anymore. And that's what makes me smile.
Yeah.
I don't feel faint anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Dominic, my son, made up a joke all by himself a couple days ago. You want to hear it?
Hey, I'm so excited to hear this.
All right. What did the brown banana say to the yellow banana?
I don't know.
I'm right behind you.
I'm right.
Oh,
right behind you. He made it up all by himself. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Great. Dad jokes already.
Well done, Dominic.
Good job, Dom.
Hey, I'll tell you this. On Saturday, here's some stuff that made me smile. Tristan's birthday was a week ago today. So the day that I fainted was Tristan's birthday.
It was?
Yeah, it was her birthday, yeah. Did you at least use it to your advantage? Like, I was thinking about you
so much. I was
going to
do something incredible.
I fainted.
Yeah, I didn't.
Aw.
No. The funny thing is, I texted her after it had happened while I was at the doctor's office and said, hey, here's what happened. And she texted back and she was like, I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen. I'm like, what? No, really not. But no, her birthday was Thursday. But we had a really full, busy day there. So we celebrated on Saturday and we went to the zoo.
Zoo Atlanta.
Cool. We went to Dwarf House.
All right.
Chick-fil-A, had a burger. There's a reason that Chick-fil-A does chicken.
Yep.
The burger was not good.
Yeah.
But
you drove all the way.
When I drove there, I was like, I could get cow at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, but you can't go to Chick-fil-A and get a burger and then critique the burger.
Well, no, it wasn't good. Like, I wasn't mad about it or anything.
Well, that's
good. You know, like, it's just, oh, yeah.
Glad to hear your sanctification.
Did you sit on the restaurant side then?
Yeah, we did. I really think, actually, that the reason, I think that if they wanted to do the burger well, that they could, and I think that they just don't because they need to remind all of us that even this side of heaven, Chick-fil-A isn't perfect.
didn't they start out doing burgers in the very first days?
Yeah, they did.
I think
so. Back in the diner days. But yeah, we did that, and then we went to the World of Coke, and then back and watched the Longhorns game. So
all the tourist things.
Yeah, we did touristy things.
Wow.
So it was cool. That made me smile.
Yeah.
The zoo was cooler than the World of Coke. The World of Coke had a couple of cool things.
How long has it been since you've been to the World of Coke?
I haven't been since I think I've been hired. I think intern.
Wow. Was it really that long ago?
Quite a bit. That was the first, I think. Saturday was the first time I had done Zoo Atlanta or World of Coke.
Wow. So do they still have the taste different?
Yeah.
So did, you try Beverly?
It's disgusting.
It's it's so bad.
Nastiest in the world.
That did not make me smile. Watching other people drink it and react to it made me smile.
It tastes like the aftertaste of throwing up. That is how I would describe Beverly.
I don't know.
Hey, so do you remember a while back we talked about this, how Peeps and Pepsi combined and they missed their marketing chance to call it Peepsy?
Yeah.
But so we have some in our basement fridge because we got it for free. And Luke tried it recently. Yeah. And it likewise it's horrible. It's the aftertaste.
The aftertaste. When it goes down, at first you're like, hmm.
At first, you kind of say, hmm. And then, and then afterwards you say,
it's kind of surprising, kind of sweet, kind of nice. And then you get hoodwinked and you're like, ugh, this is not.
Something else that made me smile was, so Rosalie's birthday is coming up. It's next week. But since it's during fall break, she wouldn't be with her friends at school. So we sent some cookies yesterday. And the teacher sent me a video of her getting sang to happy birthday. And all her little other first graders have their fingers right in her face because they're singing happy birthday to you, like an inch away. And her face was just, it made me smile the whole video because she's just loving it, taking it all in. Not like loving being the center of attention, but just pure joy. People that are loving her. And that was super fun to watch. So
cool. Yeah. Happy birthday, Rosalie.
Yeah. She'll be 7 next week.
Good old 7.
7 next week. So today, like usual, we will recap a sermon. But unlike usual, we will expand it. We got some bonus content, so a little bit of extra credit today for you listeners. All right.
Feels like we need a special sound effect for that. But
just hit one.
Which one should I
hit? Well, you got to turn the volume level up first.
Okay, just hit one. All right, here we go. We got to give it. It's time for some bonus content.
See. Oh, wait, that didn't do anything.
It didn't work.
That doesn't have
Hold
one.
Hold on. I picked the one button that doesn't have one.
It doesn't have
one.
An actual thing.
Let's see. Which one is it? Is it? Whoa.
Just hit it. Bonus content.
Bonus content.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting up with us, y'all.
We are professional podcasters.
So we will recap the message very quickly. And then jump into some other bonus stuff, because what we did this week was start a brand new series, The Generous Life. And Adam, you kicked it off. We're going to be here 3 weeks.
Yes.
And yesterday was...
In the series, not for this podcast.
Correct. Yesterday was all about...
stuff to do today.
Kind of like the why right behind giving. So I've spoken enough on that. Why don't you give just kind of a recap of why the series and then why yesterday, that sort of stuff.
So I don't know if I'll end up saying this on Sunday or not. But I heard somebody this week say that there are two things in life that will really kind of determine where you end up in life. Mm-hmm. And they are how you deal with sex and how you deal with money. Mm-hmm. Okay. And both of those things, nobody ever wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And nobody really ever wants to talk about them in church. But the issue at hand is that they are truly two of the biggest issues in our life that we have to deal about. So thankfully for everybody listening at this point, we're not talking about sex. We're talking about money. Mm-hmm. And it is.
Unless that was the bonus content.
Unless that was the bonus content. Ooh, there we go. but the idea of like how we use our money and how our money can actually use us is super important. And so that's why you do just a reading of the Bible. You find that God talks about this all the time. Depending on how you count, you're over 2,000, anywhere from 2,100 to 2,300 verses dealing with giving and money and generosity, offerings, tithes, all these things that God has just kind of laid out there because God knows what he's doing, spoiler alert, and so he knows that money has this just like invisible pull on our heart and that we would become people who are just... we gravitate towards it. And so he's trying to help us figure out the way to be the wisest stewards of it. And and it all begins with recognizing that it comes from him and understanding that God himself is a generous God and he's called us to reflect him.
Yeah. Something you kind of stopped by my office and we were chatting through the other day, really intrigued me how a lot of times Christians have been guilty of saying, mammon or money. It's just, it's neutral. It's not really, it's just, you use it for good or for evil. It kind of is neutral. And it's like, that's, it's kind of like a lie that we can buy into where technically, it is, but it's not neutral. It's a very heart pulling thing, like your money, what you're doing with it, your stuff. So, anything else to add on that?
No, I think that as we walk through it, we'll kind of just be able to kind of continue to hammer on this idea. But I think that the big idea of all of it is just getting the right perspective. So God's a generous God. He wants us to be generous. But it's not that he wants something from us. It's what he wants for you. And he wants us to experience a life that is free from the love of money so that we are able to use it to enjoy it, but also, too, to make a huge impact for him and for his kingdom.
Yeah. Luke, what stuck out? What, as you know, kind of stuck out as the overarching maybe theme or something that made you think, something you learned?
Yeah, I mean, Adam kind of touched on it just a second ago. One of the things that was just encouraging for me as I'm reading through the sermon was just to begin reflecting on the generosity of God, right? So anytime we begin a conversation about the generosity that, you know, he calls us to and that we should demonstrate in our lives as followers of him, a great starting point is to remember, oh my goodness, God has been so generous to me. Everything that I own is his. The salvation that he has granted me is because of his generosity. And so it's just to take that phrase that just God is so generous to me, and then to reflect on what that really means and to see how that's played out over the years and the years and the years of my life. Really, really encouraging. And then gets to this point and just like, okay, so like, why wouldn't I be generous to others, you know? And so I read for the teenagers last night, read 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2, you know, talks about how if anyone says that they know God, but then they don't obey his commands, then that person's a liar.
Yeah.
The person who says that they live in God, and then we know that they live in God, is the one who lives like Jesus. And of course, Jesus, reflecting the character of God, because he is God, is generous in everything that he does. And so, for those that follow Jesus, generosity, remembering the generosity of God, then encourages us to do likewise.
Yeah, and it's easy, I think, for, you know, maybe a New Testament Christian to be like, well, I'm generous with my time or my stuff or my attention, but then ignore some of the biblical principles of giving and tithing. And I think we'll get into that more specifically, right? Tithing in the future.
Yes, yeah. Week two is the mechanics of how to do it. But you are right. I mean, it's time, treasure, talent, and there's like another T. What would that be? I can't remember off the top of my head, but and I don't have those notes in front of me. But it is like, you know, your time, treasure, your talents, and those are things that we are supposed to be. Somehow it's words. What would be a T word for words?
Thoughts.
Anyway, that's what it is. It's how we are speaking towards others. So those are ways that we're to be generous. And yes, we should all be generous in those areas.
Yeah, but I think that...
Treasure. That's why it's 2,300 times.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway was that reminder of put together, what were the three words like?
Yeah.
Faith and belief or something like
where
that.
Where is it? Let me get my notes up.
Very, very spiritual, like kind of key.
Yes. So believe, pray, and love show up 1,357 times, but giving and or verses about money, 2,350 times.
So almost double.
Almost double combined.
Those three put together. That was the big takeaway for me. Yeah. It's like all these things are good, but Jesus knew and God knew throughout the whole Bible that money is so central. So. Mm-hmm. Luke, why don't you read for us, Adam gave lots of verses on Sunday, but
get a paper cut this week.
A main verse was Jesus's teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 21 through 24. Take it away.
Yeah. Here's what Jesus says: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
All right. So pretty black and white. Jesus cuts straight to it. This is the heart issue. God is a good father. And something that always helps me remember it is that he gives us rules for a reason. I'm a father, and I don't really give arbitrary rules. I try not to, at least. Just because I say so, it's like there's always a reason behind it, and God has a reason for this. And so, Adam, in the application, you talked about six things, because as we'll see here in a minute on this bonus content, there's a lot of others are many others that we could have gone to, but
yeah.
The six that you went to were that generosity honors God, draws me closer to God, increases my happiness, will be rewarded in heaven, brings God's blessing, and makes me more like Jesus. So those are the six things. Mm-hmm. One thing that I noticed is at least four of these make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
So you get closer to God, that's better. You mm-hmm. get happier, that's better. You get rewarded mm-hmm. in heaven.
Blessing
here is, it makes you better.
Yeah.
I mean,
and even makes you more like Jesus. Yeah. Pretty good.
So five out of the six.
Five out of the six.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could say, well, you know, I don't know. Yes, absolutely. But it's not that we want to be selfish with our giving. It's not what would you call it? Like prosperity gospel stuff.
No, because that's horrible.
Yeah, like that's horrible. It's not biblical. But there is this principle that when we're generous, your life gets better. And so just before we move on to the bonus stuff, what is maybe an overarching observation, a comment, maybe about one of those application points that you want to highlight before we move on?
Yeah, I think just generosity increases my happiness, right? Like, I'm going to play with this phrase for a little bit, but one of the things that we, you know, learn all of the time is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that is accumulated or kind of contextualized to the American dream, which is to be successful and to accumulate mm-hmm. wealth and to do all those things. Nothing super wrong with that. But it's actually whenever we aren't tight-fisted and more open-handed that pursuing happiness happens, mm-hmm. you know? And so whenever we're generous and we're giving to, you know, those in need, and we're participating in the work of God's kingdom by expressing generosity, that's actually what can lead to happiness. And so just thinking through that is really cool.
Yeah, no, on piggybacking on that one, the idea of, as a parent, whenever you start to give gifts to your children, mm-hmm. whenever you're young, it's all about what are you getting? The most exciting thing is there's a box with your name on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get to rip that open, and it's for you. But as you become a parent, and I'm from everything I'm hearing, a grandparent, it even amps it up another level to where you're able to give gifts to your children.
Yeah.
That's where the true joy comes from, more than what you're receiving. And the reason is because you grew up, and so you've matured and you're wiser. I mean, can you imagine how, well, I'm sure this does exist, but you know, how many parents are just about the gift that they get versus what they're giving to their kids?
It isn't as endearing to watch a 55-year-old dude rush to the tree on Christmas morning and start tearing into his stuff as it is like a 5-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That is, in fact, one of the things we do sometimes whenever our families are together for Christmas is we'll always make fun of my brother and be like, all right, Andy, get underneath there and start, you know, handing those things out.
You're playing Santa today.
You're playing Santa today. And it, you know, there's like seven kids there to be able to do that. But yeah, there's just something about that. And that's part of maturity. For me, Josh, I think the one that really stuck out to me was just the reward in heaven one. Mm-hmm. Been thumbing through a book by Randy Alcorn called, what is it called? The law of rewards. I think that's what it is. I think it's the law of rewards.
He's a big giving guy, giving author. So if you're looking for extra resources.
Yeah. Incredible story too. I don't know if you know his background. So he's a pastor and got really convicted about pro-life movement and those things. And so started leading some prayer meetings at abortion clinics. Long story short, they ended up being sued by multiple clinics. And he had to file for bankruptcy.
Oh, wow.
Because it was like $8.5 million. And anyway, so he had to negotiate it down to where he could only take a minimum wage salary from the church that he was working. And so his wife was able to get some income. But he said what was crazy about it is that through the books he started writing, like all these other things started coming in, and he was able to just give all that money away.
That's cool.
So anyway, that he tells that in the Law of Rewards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just some really, really interesting just thoughts in that of, you know, you've heard the phrase, you can't take it with you whenever it comes to our stuff. But I think he's the one that kind of comes up with this phrase, but you can send it ahead. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we are giving, we're literally, what we're doing is we're sending treasure ahead to a place to where it's inexhaustible. So it'll never run out. Mm-hmm. And so it's learning to just be able to see things like that. That was really just, that was really inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about that and thinking about what lies ahead.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I already gave you mine, just how four of them are...
Five.
Well, five, if you count it that way. Yeah, just it does turn it back to you. It makes your life better.
Well, and that's why we can say that God wants something for you.
Yeah, he does.
He really does. It's not about from you, because if God wanted from you, he could just take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of like Bob and the fries with his kid.
That story. And there were some funny YouTube videos at the front end, a guy driving a boat into a van. That was great.
That was actually impressive.
Wasn't that impressive?
Very impressive.
I was waiting for the mistake to happen.
Nope.
That was because I was ready to start laughing at the fail.
Uh-uh.
It was,
just got in, man.
It was impressive.
I tell you, the leaf blower guy and the mop bucket,
that's hilarious.
That guy is living in the year 2300 right now. So, I mean,
that was funny.
Yeah.
I could see Dominic doing that when he's a little older and strong enough to hold a leaf blower.
Whenever Luke comes to your house with a leaf blower and says, Dominic, let's try this.
But it's electric.
The mop bucket.
So, well, the extension cord would run out.
That's the year 2300 is battery-powered electric.
You get your Ryobi out, and I bet you could get some movement.
I mean, it's not electric. It's
corded. Oh, yeah. So
that
need a really long
electric.
Yeah.
It's still electricity. Yeah. It's just corded electricity.
I've got a cordless electric one. It works pretty well.
All right, I'm going to borrow it and get Dominic in a mop bucket.
If you really want to do it, you need to get a gas-powered one. That'd be the way to go.
I know. The gas does give you a lot more power.
Yeah.
It can also give you burns because of the amount of heat that that engine is going to put off.
Well, that's true.
So, but hey.
I think we're off track. So
no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain.
To the bonus content, there's a lot of things here, so we'll just kind of fly through them. Stuff that didn't make it into the sermon, because that always happens every week.
Yeah.
But they're
this valuable, week more than most.
But they're valuable parts of a conversation. So I'm just going to go down through these. So I'll read it, and then Adam, you can kind of explain it a little bit. We'll riff off of it a little bit and then go to the next one.
Okay.
So generosity allows me to live out my God-created identity. So talk.
Yes. So God is a generous God, and so he created us to be generous as well. This one didn't make the cut because it is very similar to Makes Me More Like Jesus.
Sorry, I'm laughing because of the phrase you just said. This one didn't make the cut. It makes me think that you took all of these points and you're like trying to get your 53-man roster in.
Yeah. It's on the practice.
It's on the practice.
It's on the practice squad.
We'll call it up if somebody gets hurt.
So, yeah, it didn't make the cut because of that. But it is very, very similar to It Makes Us, you know, More Like Jesus. But God is a generous God. And so he is, if he's the one on the cattle who owns the cattle on a thousand hill, if he's the one that is able to say, you have all this stuff because of me, not because of what you've done. And so he's freely giving it to us. Whenever we are freely giving, it's the same thing. We're living out our God-created identity.
Makes me think of just God actually creating. And I think it was G.K. Chesterton had this image of God creating like flowers. He's like, he could have just stopped at one, but he imagined God as like a child going, ooh, that was great. Do it again. You know? Yeah. And God is just so generous.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, like, he could have just given us tree, but he gave us trees.
Right.
He could have just given us dog, but he gave us dogs. And, like, so much variety everywhere. And we were created in God's image. And so, Luke, what do you want to add on
that? Yeah, I mean, whenever we tend to do the things that God originally created us to do, we seem to do better in life. So whenever, and it's bigger than just generosity, right? Like if God is loving and he's created us in his image, generally speaking, we do better in life whenever we're loving. If God is generous, and he's created us in His image generally will do better in life whenever we are generous. And yep. So, yeah, love that one. Generosity does allow us to live out our God-created identity.
Yeah, one other one was generosity expands my influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one made me think a little bit about, you know, we do premarital counseling on the money part.
Mm-hmm.
One of their questions is, what, you know, why are you maybe fearful of money? And one of them is, I won't have influence.
Correct.
So yeah. What else would you say on that?
So Psalm 112:9 yeah. talks about those who share freely, give generously to those in need, that their good deeds will be remembered forever. And they will have influence and honor.
Mm.
And so if you think about it personally, generally speaking, people who have been very generous to you have influence in your life.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely, they do.
You know, whether it's a parent, whether it's a friend, whether it's, you know, somebody, it doesn't matter. Whenever people are generous with you, they automatically, you give them influence because they've been so kind. And so we don't do it for the sake of getting it. I think that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we also understand that it does expand our influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the word that I thought of, and I think it's halfway the right word and halfway the wrong word, because using this word will kind of get at, maybe we could do this for the wrong reasons, but halfway mm-hmm. the right word, because it really is kind of what it is, but it's investment.
Yes.
Right? So
no, it is.
Investment, I'm going to be generous, and what I'm investing in is some sort of return of yeah. influence. And again, not for the motivation of that, but...
Yeah, it's not bribery, you know,
that's something that results whenever you do mm-hmm. Generous things.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Generosity, another point was generosity reveals my character.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a story from Luke 16 and specifically verse 11.
Yeah.
Jesus says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, yeah. who will trust you with true riches of heaven?
Yep.
And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with mm-hmm. things of your own?
Yeah.
Yeah. So last night in... the Bolin's class homemade, Tim was talking about, you know, I generally don't trust my life to people unless they've shown themselves trustworthy yeah. in time. So it was an acronym, T-I-M-E. So time, information, money, and emotions. So if you're not careful, mm-hmm. if you're not careful with my emotions, if you're not careful with my money,
mm-hmm.
if you're not careful with information I tell you, if you're blabbing mm-hmm. it to everybody, or mm-hmm. if you're not careful with my time, I'm not going to trust you further. And so, I think those four things, I mean, money, of course, being one of them,
yep.
does reveal our character. So
100%.
Adam, what to add on that one?
No, that's perfect. And Tim is a great preacher because it's got 4 points and an acronym.
So yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That's right. Cool. Luke, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
Have you ever been in like maybe a silly situation where you've had to make a character decision about money?
Yeah. I mean, I say yes. I'm looking for examples. One of the stories that came to my mind right away, you know that little spiritual gifts test that people take?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? I know this one. Yeah.
So I took that test as a Bible college student and, you know, got the results back and, mm-hmm. you know, top ones were at the top and everything was kind of average. But the one that was significantly worse than the rest was giving. and I think that might have had something to do with the season of life of being a broke college student, but also that there were some heart issues mm-hmm. In me as well.
Yeah.
And so I looked at that and I was like, well, giving is like the lowest one. So I literally took a $20 bill out of my wallet and gave it to the next person I saw. I was like, I think you need this because I don't. So, you know, that just, you know, that's the kind of the fun story. But that was the kind of the moment that after the giving away and then the getting back into the dorm room later that night and reflecting is mm-hmm. like, oh, this kind of is a rhythm or, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think rhythm's a good word. This is a rhythm, that needs to be kind of added to my life. And so the character decision is, am I going to be the type of person, the type of follower of Jesus who trusts God, with my finances
and
you know, to not be able to hold on to what I really don't need, but to give it.
Yeah. Next one that didn't make the cut, it's on the practice squad, is generosity demonstrates my faith.
Yeah.
This comes from Malachi 3:10. bring all the tithes into the storehouses, so there will be enough food in my temple. This is God speaking. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test.
Yeah.
So what further words would you say on that one, Adam?
No, so that is God the one time in Scripture telling people to put him to the test, and it's bring the tithe 10%, because people had not been doing that. And so it demonstrates our faith, because whenever we say that we're going to live off of a lower percentage than what we actually make, mm-hmm. that is an act of faith.
It is.
To say that I'm going to go on 90% or 88% or 85% and do that. That definitely is an act of faith. And it's actually, and we'll talk more about this one in the tithing message next week. It is one of the things that is harder to do the more wealthy you become.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing 10%, it's like, well, 10% of $20,000, okay, $2,000. But now I'm making $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's five. All right, we can probably do that. 100,000? Oh, 10. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. 500,000? 50. I'm giving $50,000 away a year.
Mm-hmm.
Get up to $1,000,000. It's like, whoa, hold on here, you know? And so it's one of those things that does take, and I think that's why it takes faith. In every level, it takes faith for us to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess just a little self revelation. Sasha just started kind of helping out and do some other stuff. And so her salary went up a little bit too, which meant that just how we do it is our tithe is like automatically drafted through monthly giving. And so what I did actually just yesterday was canceled the previous draft schedule and started a new one with an updated number. Because if you don't do it quickly, then you get used to living on what you got, and it's like, oh, I gotta make a big adjustment. So any tithing stories? Who taught you to tithe?
Dr. Cruz, First Baptist Church. Okay. My parents, always grandparents, you know, tithers. And I've made this joke before, but, you know, Dr. Cruz, Children's Church for us is you just go sit down on the front step in front of the pulpit and he'd give an object lesson.
Yeah.
And somehow 48 out of 52 weeks of the year, he was able to do it on tithing. And so, because he was trying to get the parents to listen, because he knew that was probably the only
time that they would listen.
That they were listening. Yeah. And so,
well, it's funny you say that a little tongue in cheek, but then you read about the Bible and there's like, you know, 2,300 times. So maybe he's just preaching biblical sermons.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The right, you know, percentage. So
I always remember, I always remember being a kid, going to kids' church, and, you know, my parents giving me a dollar bill or a handful of coins and saying, hey, when the offering comes by, make sure you drop this in, you know? And it was just kind of the teaching. Now, of course, it was easy to do because it was their money.
Right.
Once that resource, it was not available to me again. It was the lowest on my little result thing, and something that I have had to grow in and learn in and kind of wrestle with the Lord. Really, for me, what it's come down to, and this is a question that is beyond even just, you know, generosity and money, is it's, do I trust that God knows better than me? I really believe and understand that God has never asked me to do something that isn't good for me?
Right.
He's always, everything that God has ever asked me to do is actually good for me. That doesn't mean it's easy or hard. It could be either or both. But God always asks me to do something that's good for me. And so do I actually trust him in that? And so I've learned since kind of that moment in Bible college that when I do trust him in that, that it actually is better for me. And, grateful.
Yep. There's another time in college, where there was someone came to like a dorm devo. They gave a opportunity to give some money. Anyway, I felt convicted. I responded to it and gave some money, not knowing really how it was going to work out, because I was poor college student either, like trying to get through stuff with bussing tables at Olive Garden. And, I distinctly remember it because I wrote the check like that Thursday. It was a Thursday night Devo.
You wrote a check.
Do you know how to do that?
Dude.
I know how to do it.
Okay. When was the last time you did
that? That was like the thing, you know, whenever I was in college.
You had like a checkbook on you?
Yeah.
I used to carry
my checkbook in my back pocket.
Wow. We didn't have cards.
You didn't have debit cards,
man. You didn't have those.
That was the only way that you could actually spend money.
You guys are old.
Yeah?
Yeah. And the first time I ever actually had money, there was a card associated with it.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember the story distinctly because as a busser, I remember that Saturday. This isn't a guarantee that God's going to do this every time, but that Saturday I made like a ton of money. And it was about the amount of money that I gave away. Mm-hmm. And it was just a cool God, almost like a little nod going, hey,
I got you.
That was good. Like, good job. So, yeah, I don't tell that story for me. I tell that story for God, just saying that he's going to bless you and he's going to take care of you. Maybe not exactly like that, but definitely in ways. So, so those are some bonus points that were maybe left out. There are three types of generosity that were left out. So these will be fun to riff off a little bit as well.
Yeah, this is straight from John Maxwell, these next nine things that we're sharing.
Okay. Well, one of them is the repeat because we live out of our God-created identity. Yes. So the next eight things, But open-hearted. God wants to add value to others.
Yeah, so that's open-hearted generosity is where we want to add value to other people and just help them to get better and just making them feel valuable. So that's an important type of generosity.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of like micro loans and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
You ever done one of those? Have you heard of those?
Mm-mm.
So lots of times people in like developing countries, it might not take a lot of our money, American dollars, to get them started on a small business, but they just don't have it. And so a micro loan is where you would give them all the startup money, and I think you end up getting it back, right?
Yes.
And so, but it's a way that you can add value to them because you get them kickstarted, essentially.
Yeah.
And they get off the ground, they get going, they make money, and they're able to pay it back and kind of pay it forward type of thing. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. So. And there's other ways too. I mean, it's not just a money thing, you know, in terms of adding value. It can just be you're adding value with your words or adding value by, you know, spending time with them. So,
Or I would even say, one of the things that Tristan and I are really, really blessed in kind of have been in our phase of life. Like, people are so generous, and whenever they give gift cards for date nights, like that adds value to our life and our marriage.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so there's, you know, this thing where it's like, okay, we want to do the same thing for other people now. Mm-hmm. Like we want to try to do those things because it really is like even just the slightest, smallest gesture, gift towards somebody can really kind of add value and bring them up. So,
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. I think of, once again, just the Bolins. They're adding value to about 50 people's lives on Wednesday nights out of professional, just counseling experience. Yeah. And
it's cool.
It's not direct money, but it's worth a lot.
Absolutely.
So
right.
Open-minded is another way to think about generosity. So talk about that.
So, I mean, it's just kind of like what it's saying is how are we looking for ways to help someone?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is probably going to be more time than it is our next one. But, you know, just how can I help? How can I help? How can I help? And being generous in that way is a way that we are adding value to people.
They all kind of play with each other there.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Cool. And the third Maxwell-ism was open-handed. So
Maxwell-ism.
You could tell he was like a preacher before he was a best-selling author as well.
And
still uses a lot of those principles, but open-handed, someone who gives freely of resources. So I guess I should have waited for the Bolins for that one because they're giving stuff away.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anybody who has blessed you by giving you resources or training?
Oh my gosh. Starting the list.
I was about to say.
That's narrowing that one down. Can
we just go within this last week?
Yeah.
Like, you know? So many people.
All right. We got five more. So let's get through these. We live on the other side of yes. That's the first just marker of a life that is marked by generosity. We live on the other side of yes. So explain that one to me, Adam.
So this is, once again, this is Maxwell. And if you look up his life marked by generosity, message on YouTube. I mean, you can listen to all these. But this is just the idea of whenever we're being generous, it means that we're always able to say yes. And not that you don't ever say no, but you know what I'm saying? To where it's just like, he tells the story about a guy that he was just approaching and he was like, hey, I got an opportunity for you. And the guy said, yes.
Before even hearing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, well, but you don't even know. He's like, no, here's the thing. Once I started giving, became a generous person, it's gotten me to the place to where I can just, you know, I just know that I want to live on the other side of yes whenever an opportunity
comes up. Yeah. Simple way to say it.
Yeah.
I like that. We continually sow seeds. That's a biblical metaphor.
Yes.
As well. So what else do you want to add to that?
Yeah. Let me see if I can find this line real quick. Where is it? This is a great podcast.
Well, I mean, talk about the farming analogy, like sowing seeds.
A seed is small,
but also larger. Also a financial investment that a farmer has to make.
Yes.
Right? Like the farmer has to sacrifice in order to get the seeds to plant them and
absolutely.
To fill the field and to do all the hard work leading up to it.
So before
they get the crop.
Here's how he said it. He said, soil says, bring me your seed, not your need. And so you are sowing seeds. You're not necessarily concerned about what your needs are. It's just like the ground is just saying, give me the seed. And so then through that, that's where we're able to reap the benefit.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the farming metaphor as well, that's patiently waiting because there's literal seasons that you have to wait until the crop comes up. And so in life, maybe you do have a quick turnaround for how you see generosity affect people. Maybe it's years later.
Yep.
So to keep that in mind. This kind of relates.
Yeah.
We are growing in our faith. That sort of relates to what did make the message.
Correct.
You know,
yep.
We're stretching what we think we can do because we know that God is with us. So we attract people to God. Let's talk about that a little bit.
It's kind of the influence idea. I mean, once again, if by being generous, it means that we have influence. I mean, that means that if you're being generous with people who are far from God, then you can actually be attracting them to them.
Yeah. I mean, the most generous people in the world should be people who follow Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that should be one of the things that sets us apart from the rest of the world that is attractive to those who don't know him.
Yeah. So maybe a practical action step would be to watch how you tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
that's real world.
Especially on Sunday lunch.
Sunday lunch.
You go out in your church clothes.
Yeah. Don't be those people that add to the stereotype of stingy Christians.
Yeah.
So be attractive.
Yep.
We receive more than we can imagine. Explain that one a little bit.
So we reap what we sow. So to use the old preacher, so we reap, one of the lines is you reap more than you sow. So it's later than you sow. You reap what you sow, but you always reap more than what you sow. Mm-hmm. And that's just the law of harvest. And so whatever we are generous with, it does come back as more. Now, once again, that's not God in a headlock, and it's not always going to be financial. It might be emotional. It might be might be relational. Who knows? But you get more. And it's just the way it is, and more than what you could ever imagine.
What you got to add, Luke?
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it.
All right. This last one was a repeat. We live at our God-given identity, and really, and we seem to have talked about identity a lot lately, just in various subjects of life. And when we remember who we are and what we've been called to do, that changes everything. It really does. So, this was week one. This was the why. Real quick, tell us where are we going week two? And week three of this message series.
So week two will be kind of the how. So what are the mechanics?
Of tithing specifically or generosity or all of it?
Generosity, I mean, tithing is going to be a huge part of it.
Here's how to connect your routing number to...
Yeah. But no, so kind of just the idea, what is the playbook for biblical generosity?
Yes.
Okay.
And cool. And tithe is a part of it. And then the last week is just kind of like, what are the results of it? And... So the idea that it does multiply and what we think is super small here can have massive effect downstream.
Yeah.
Awesome. I am certainly grateful for the many, many people who have been generous with me. And the story comes to my mind in the scriptures. Jesus told the parable of, you know, the guy who was, he had his debt forgiven, mm-hmm. and then walked out the door and did not forgive a much, much smaller amount. And we can easily fall into that if we're not careful.
Yep.
So let's remember God is generous with us, so let's be general. Generous.
Generous in general.
General. Generally, all the time, be generous. Yeah. All right, Adam, what was our bottom line and challenge from Sunday?
Yeah, so the bottom line was God loves a generous giver because God is a generous giver. And that's kind of been the whole theme of this. But the challenge is just to spend some time this week and write down four ways God has been generous to you. Hmm. And just think about it, you know, and if you need to limit it to the past week, if you need to expand it to the month, or if you just are wanting to think big picture in your life, how have you seen God's generosity on display in your life? And then we're able to kind of start thinking in terms of, okay, he has been generous. How can I do this for somebody else?
Yeah. And that's to kind of go back to the rhythm of 4D.
Grateful for, prayer for.
Grateful for is what I'm looking at. Yeah. I said it wrong. Yeah.
There's four all over the place.
But we, even on, you know, connection card yesterday, we put the question, what are you grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of played into it a little bit. So if you filled out a connection card, you're already one in.
There you go.
Nice work.
One of God's blessings.
Could be.
Yeah. So, okay. What else do you want to add before we kind of shift gears and start talking about something else?
Let's go, man.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like being generous is good for us.
Yeah.
It's just what it seems like.
Yeah.
So do it.
Let's do it. All right. Parents should be training their kids at a young age, by fifth grade for sure, how to be generous and tithe and all that stuff. So are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Probably.
Going to have a few questions for you today.
Probably
that came off of that show. All right. So do you think you're smarter than a fifth grader?
Luke, do you remember this show?
I do remember this show.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay. Were you in fifth grade when it came?
I might have been.
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe it was a fifth grader, a little bit older, whenever it came out. I remember being a child whenever we watched it.
Came out in 2007.
Okay, so that would have been, I was 11. So
there
I was
we go, you would have been a fifth grader.
Just, yeah.
Right.
There we go. All right.
Okay, so I'm just going to list the questions. First to answer gets the point. All right, classical music. What instruments usually comprise a string quartet?
Oh, wow.
Stringed instruments.
Oh, Adam buzzed in first.
Buzz, you got it.
So violin, viola, cello, and bass.
I'm sorry.
Ah.
Can you repeat the question?
In classical music, what instruments usually comprise a string quartet?
What instruments comprise a string quartet?
Quartet means there's four of them.
Yeah. Right. I think I'm going to go violin, cello, bass, and piano.
Oh. String quartet. Well, piano.
Piano is a string instrument.
So what got you was there's actually two violins.
Oh, so it's violin.
Viola and cello. All right.
Viola and cello.
All right. On the
You know the difference between a violin and a fiddle, right?
Yeah, you play the fiddle in bluegrass music.
It just depends.
No. It's just a violin has strings. A fiddle got strings.
Yeah, you play it in bluegrass.
Yeah,
it's just where you play it. Yeah, that's great. I'll use that joke in the future, though.
Okay.
Kind of like, do you know the difference between naked and necked?
No.
Naked means you have no clothes on. Necked means you have no clothes on and you're up to no good. All right. On the periodic table, which element is represented by the letter N? What is it?
Okay.
Nitrogen.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
All right. Ooh, math question. How many feet are there in 75 yards? Adam.
Oh, come on.
Is it 225?
Yes, sir. All right. One to one.
Hey, you got to go back because you did table of elements. Did you hear that oxygen and potassium went on a date?
What happened?
It was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah. Because K is, yeah. Yep.
Nice.
That's good. What does a paleontologist study?
Dinosaurs. No?
Be more specific.
Lots of dinosaurs.
The correct answer, Adam?
Fossils? Is it fossils?
It's fossils.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I think it's still 1-1.
Yeah.
How much is 14 times 5? Adam.
That is hold on. 70. Yeah.
70. You can't just buzz in and then do the math in your head. You've got to do the math and then buzz in. Man.
All right. Snooze, you lose.
All right. So it's 2-1. The Tropic of Capricorn lies in which hemisphere?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Southern?
Southern.
I had a 50-50 chance.
The answer is no. I'm not smarter than a fifth grader.
The bassoon is a member of what musical family?
Woodwind.
Yeah. Woodwind. All right. Adam,
this is my public school education coming out right
here. 4-1.
I'm not giving the homeschoolers a lot of hope right now.
All right. During World War II, on the day known as D-Day, at what location did Allied troops invade Europe?
Yeah, Normandy.
Normandy. Yeah.
We'll tie.
Okay, 5-2.
Yeah.
Whose picture is on the $5 bill?
Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. He doesn't know a checkbook, and he doesn't has no.
I mean, come on.
By the time I was getting money, I only had 20s. Well, yeah. No.
I only had a debit card.
It was literally the first time I had ever had a bank account. I walked out with a debit card.
Yeah.
There's cash. What is cash? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I know the Cash App.
There you go.
All right, we've got these are two fun math questions, so you can just buzz in and do the math. Yeah. In your head.
Adam's just gonna do the math.
All right.
Seven.
You want to go that one first? Okay. Between 1 and 100, how many multiples of 7 are odd numbers?
How many multiples of 7?
Between 1 and 100, multiples of 7, how many of them are odd numbers?
Oh, gosh.
It would be 5.
No.
No? Okay. I was trying to do a shortcut. Odd numbers, multiples of 7. 4. No. 1 in 100.
It's probably 8.
7.
Is it 7?
Yeah. Because you got to go 7 and then 21.
Right.
You skip every.
Yeah.
It goes odd.
Skip even every other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So 70.
Got it now.
Yeah.
Would be 5. And then, anyway. So fun.
I needed a spreadsheet.
Here's another math question. Our last question for the day. If a car is traveling at 40 miles per hour,
okay,
how long will it take to go 190 miles?
Oh,
long time.
Gosh.
40 miles per hour to go 190 miles.
Is that 5 hours?
Close.
Yeah, it's just under 5.
4 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Adam takes it. This one, he is smarter than a fifth grader.
And
that's right. Don't forget it.
And smarter than Luke.
I don't know about that, but I'll take the fifth. I will take smarter than a fifth grader.
Yeah, that show was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I actually was probably better at answering those questions as a fifth grader.
Yeah, because you're going through all that. Right. So do you guys remember another game show, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Regis?
Yeah, Regis.
Do I remember that?
Do you remember? So I was, I think it was the first season of it. Do you remember the guy who, he won $1 million,
mm-hmm,
and he hadn't used a lifeline?
Yep.
And he, you remember this? Yeah, he called his dad and said, I don't actually need your help. I just wanted to tell you I'm going to win $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the real question is, did you have a Regis Philbin shirt and tie? Do you remember this?
No.
So Regis would wear the same color of shirt and tie,
yep,
so monochrome kind of thing.
Okay.
And so that became the style for a little bit.
Hmm.
And so the answer is yes, I did.
The answer is yes, you did.
So like black shirt, black tie.
Black shirt, black tie, blue shirt. Yep.
What is the best game show of all time?
What is the best game show? I mean, it's Price is Right.
Yeah.
I love Price is Right.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Price is Right's great.
In fact, I almost went with Price is Right today, yeah, because of the generous money thing.
The Price is Right is how I started every day of school. So that's why I did not.
That's how we spent sick days. So.
Did not.
Hey, before school started, we would have 2-a-day soccer practice, 8 to 10 in the morning, and we would get in the car and race home to catch The Price is Right because,
yeah,
it started at 10.
It's just a great show.
Yeah.
$1.
$1.
$1, Bob.
Yeah, we play that at the checkout line at Kroger.
Jen and
I did.
Yeah.
So she'll pick a number and I'll pick a number.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I was wrong. I guessed $1 this time. Unfortunately, she was closer.
Yeah. With inflation, man, you got to go $2 at least.
All right. It's been fun. And Luke, I like how you said it a while ago. Let's go be generous. It's good for all of us. So what are you buying me for lunch?
What do you want, man? Let's do it.
I'm joking.
I'm free. Let's go.
No.
You'll gain influence.
That's right.
Yeah, you will.
I'll buy you lunch if you let me have authority in your life.
All right. We gotta stop before we get too out of hand. But anyway, we'll see you back next week for part 2 of the series. We hope you are enjoying your fall break, if that applies to you. If it doesn't, we hope you are enjoying the second week of October. We love you and we like you, and we will see you soon.